So Daniel helpfully summarized where we've been so far this weekend. So we have our overall theme, our overall title, My Challenge Mission. And that's what we've been thinking about last night and this morning and this evening as well. But we've also broken that down into smaller sub-themes. And so last night we thought about the nations. We celebrated the fact that we have an international flavor to our church. We celebrated the fact that we have opportunity to share the gospel with those people, and that one day we will stand before the throne and before the Lamb, shoulder to shoulder, with people from every nation. And then this morning, as we heard report backs from our missionaries, we thought about how Paul and Barnabas were looked after by the church at Antioch, and we considered the responsibility which lies on our shoulders as a sending church, as a church who sends missionaries out. And you may have picked up from a few of Yanni's questions this evening that tonight we're going to think about the future, about what happens next, what is the next step for Great Victoria Street Baptist Church. And so I just want to leave a couple of thoughts in our minds as we close this weekend, and they're going to come from Matthew chapter 10. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 10. Now, just to let you know where we are in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has been undertaking his ministry. That began with a teaching ministry, which we see in Matthew 5 to 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And when we read at the end of chapter 7, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. And so he began by teaching, but then in chapters 8 and 9, we see Jesus' healing ministry. And again, near the end of chapter 9, verse 33, we read this, "And the crowds marveled, saying, 'Never was anything like this seen in Israel.'" The next verses in chapter 9 are then Jesus saying that the laborers for the harvest are few. He calls the disciples to pray for more laborers. And then in chapter 10, we see that those disciples become the answer to their own prayers as Jesus sends them out. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 10. It's a long reading, but rest assured I'm not going to comment on every verse. But we will read all of Matthew chapter 10. "And he," that's Jesus, called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for the laborer deserves his food." So as I've mentioned, as we end our weekend, My Challenge Mission, it's been evident that this evening's theme has rung along the lines of My Challenge, the future. And we must be honest that the future is something that we all want to know. The future is something that we all want to know. Some of the most popular TV programs and films are about time travel, about seeking and knowing and changing the future. I think especially back to my childhood and to the movies Back to the Future, or the BBC's acclaimed Doctor Who series. But it can get a bit sillier than that as well. I'm sure that we all have friends or work colleagues or family members who read their star signs religiously in an attempt to know what the future holds for them. But it also happens in more serious circles too. We think of scientists who are constantly developing projected models of what will happen. We even do it ourselves. We sit down and we watch the weather in the hope of knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, of what the future holds for us. And we have to be honest, it's no different when it comes to mission. When it comes to mission, we want to know what the future is for us. We all want to know what the future holds when it comes to mission. We want to know what's in it for us, what's in the future concerning mission for our church and for our missionaries and for the gospel at large. Unfortunately, this is the point where I disappoint you, because I can't tell you what the future looks like. I can't tell you all of the individual details that are going to take place concerning mission in the future. But from Matthew 10, I think that there are four broad brushstrokes which give us an idea of what the future holds for us. And the first broad brushstroke is a very simple one, and one which we've mentioned repeatedly through this weekend. The future of mission consists of us going. It consists of us going. See, in this passage that we just read, Jesus includes his disciples in the mission which he began. That which Jesus has been doing from chapter 5, teaching and healing, well, he begins to include the disciples in that. In verse 7, we note the disciples are given authority to teach. And in verse 1, we saw that they have been given authority to heal disease and affliction. And we too, as disciples today, are included in Jesus' ministry, in his mission. Now, we have to be honest, it takes a slightly different shape to the work of Matthew 10. Remember, we come after Jesus' death and resurrection. We're not confined to the borders of Israel as his disciples were on this occasion. And in my view, our healing ministry is probably demonstrated a wee bit differently. But nonetheless, we're still included in Jesus' mission. We are still commanded to go. After all, the message hasn't changed. Verse 7, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand." And so as we hear Great Vic this evening look to the future of mission, we must not neglect the fact that we must go. Now, this means that there must be people who go, and we touched on that this morning. There must be people who send, the congregation who support. But as we've heard tonight, there are also opportunities for us to do that here in Belfast among the nations. As we've heard tonight, the church is already involved in that work. But that must continue in the future. We must continue to take this gospel to people who have not heard it or who have not responded to it. And so that is the first broad brushstroke in Matthew 10. We must continue to go. But the second broad brushstroke is that as we go, well, we should know that the future holds difficulty. In verse 16, we see that the disciples were sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves. In verse 17, they're then told to beware of men. And finally, we see that the disciples will be hated by all. Let me read verses 21 and 22 again. "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." The disciples were facing great difficulty as they obeyed Jesus' command to go. And it will be the same for us as we consider the future of mission in Great Vic. There will be great difficulty. We only need to think of our own situation here at Great Vic and the outreach that takes place on a Friday night. And of those who are standing on the steps, we only need to think of the time that we've had disdain from people, hardness of heart towards the gospel, and the point-blank refusal of people to enter into any kind of spiritual conversation. We've heard it described tonight from the platform. Apathy is the situation that we find ourselves in. And so there will be difficulty in the future of mission. Indeed, for us, but this is also true for our missionaries on the field as well. We mentioned this again this morning. We all love hearing the success stories. The stories that missionaries come home with of people being saved. We love the development in the work that they're involved in, the maturity evidenced by new believers, the leadership forming in a young church plant. We love the positive stories, but none of us want a missionary to come home and to tell us that they've been laboring for 10 years and seen no one saved. We don't want to hear about a promising prospect who apparently seemed to die before making a commitment. We don't want to hear about the young promising believer who has disappeared off the face of the earth and we don't know where they've gone. See, the reality is that life is hard on the ground. That there's difficulties in mission. Difficulties as there has been before with the disciples and as there will be in the future for us. And so we see that we must continue to go, but we should see that we must go knowing that there is difficulty ahead. Nevertheless, we're not without help. And that is our third broad brushstroke. Verses 19 to 20, let me read those. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Here we see that we have help as the Spirit speaks. The difficulty we face is an opportunity for the Spirit to work. And He will help us through it. In verse 28, we read this. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We're not to fear men, because they only have so much jurisdiction over us. Rather, we are to fear Him who is greater. Verses 29 to 33. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Our acknowledgement of Jesus will be rewarded with His acknowledgement of us. And so there is great help which is afforded for us as we look to the future work of mission. It cannot be denied that the future of mission is fraught with difficulties. But here we see that we walk into that future, not by ourselves, but with great help. We walk into that future with God's help every step of the way. God cares for us and He has promised us help as we look to the future of mission. Here in Great Vic, but also beyond Great Vic as well. He is with us and He will continue with us into the future. And all of this is necessary because of the fourth broad brushstroke. Because of the message that we must proclaim. See, we need to know that Jesus sends us. We need to know that there will be difficulty coming from that. But that in that difficulty we will have great help. And we need to know this because the message that we have to share is a message which divides. It's a message which is hard to deliver and it is a message which is costly. Look at verse 34. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. This message that we must proclaim, that we must take with us into the future of mission, is one that divides. It divides between those who respond correctly and those who respond wrongly. It divides between those who are Christ's and those who are not. Look at verses 37 to 39. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This message is a message which divides. And for this reason, it is a message which is difficult to deliver and costly to accept. And this message is the gospel. The gospel is a message which divides, which is hard to deliver, and which is costly to accept. And therefore, it's of vital importance that we see the broad brushstrokes in this passage. The future of mission consists with us continuing to go to the nations, to those people around us, to those people in our country and further afield with this message. But we must not have the rose-tinted glasses on, because it will be difficult. It will be increasingly difficult as we take this message. And yet there is great help provided as we take this message forward. In fact, divine help provided. God is with us every step of the way. And these are necessary because of this message which we must proclaim. Unfortunately, there's no DeLorean or TARDIS. There's no horoscope or crystal ball. There's no projected model or forecast which will tell us exactly what mission holds for us in the future in this place, what it looks like as we try to plan. However, what we can say is that the future will see us continue to go with the message, continue to face difficulties as we share this message, but that we will do all of that with God's help and proclaiming a great message, which is the gospel. Let us pray. Our Father, as we have thanked you so many times already this weekend, we thank you again for being a God of mission. A God who put into action his redeeming plan the whole way back in Genesis. Who began to put right everything that went wrong with Abram. But we praise you that you were not a God who saved one person or one nation, but a God who seeks to save people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And we glory in the greatness and the vastness of that great message and mission that you are part of, that you initiated. And we as individuals this evening, we as your people, the church, are eternally grateful for your allowing us to be part of that great mission, of the privilege and responsibility of carrying this great gospel to the nations. We praise you for the variety of ways that that takes place, whether it is us going to the nations, whether it is the nations coming to us, whether it is planning for the future or supporting missionaries on the field. We thank you for our place in that work. And as we begin to process and think about what we've learned from your word and from others this weekend, we pray that you would help us as we look to the future. We know that we must continue on the mission that you began. We know that that will be filled with difficulties and disappointments. And yet we are grateful that we know we do that with you by our side every step of the way. We pray that you would help us, no matter what the future holds, to remain faithful to this message, to this gospel, to Christ our Savior and Lord. And we ask that you would take us, that you would mold us, and that you would use us for the extension of your kingdom across this world. And that through the spreading of the gospel by your church, that we would speed your return. And we pray this for your honor and glory alone. Amen.